Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know. I look at 1 Corinthians so differently now. I used to say this, and I want to tell you what I'm going to say. I say it with joy. I used to say this before, not this with joy, but I'd be like, I could never be a part of a church like Corinth. And as we see people saved and they're saved out of Corinthian-type environments, I feel like we are Corinth sometimes, but I praise the Lord for that. Sometimes I used to think, you had to tell them what? And when you see people saved and they're just no church bound, I just want to tell you, you raise your kids, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I'm just telling you, I've watched the benefit of you. Don't you dare think it's not accomplishing anything. You being consistent, loving, and gentle, raising your kids under the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's effective. And I praise the Lord that we're able to reach people that have no background like that. But it is it's Corinth situation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12. Title of the message tonight, Surrounded by God, Yet Dissatisfied. The Bible's so eternal. It's so relevant. It feels like today. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. He wants you to know, ignorance is not bliss. That's not a Bible concept. Moreover, brethren, I would not have that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, you can see God, through Paul, speaking to the Jewish contingent here. So he's going back and reminiscing little history in the Old Testament. So look at this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud. Remember this, when they came out of Egypt, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. How that you were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They passed through the Red Sea. Remember, I've talked about this before. In order to get upwards to 2 to 3 million people through in one night, if you had 5,000 people shoulder to shoulder to get 2 million people through, it had to be 3 miles wide. It's estimated it was 8 miles wide. When you think of the parting of the Red Sea, it wasn't like this aisle way. Excuse me. You know, and so yeah, everybody's like, I wonder, did they touch the wall? Maybe, but Ron would have, but it's most of them weren't close to the water. You imagine that? It's a crazy thought. So let's read verse 1 with that just reminder. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Again, that word baptized, that's they were immersed. That's all it was. It's not talking about the water baptism that we're talking about. They were immersed in the cloud and in the sea. It was like, you know, estimates are that one part of the wall would have been 3,000 feet high, one would have been 5,000, because over that period of time it had a gradual decline. But it is, they would have been covered. The cloud covered them, the sea, and so that's all it is. And they were immersed, baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. Well, what is that? For they drank of that spiritual rock, correctly capitalized, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I just remind you here, this is one of many that just reminds you, the only way of salvation has been through faith in the Messiah. That's what the word Christ is. It's Greek, and it's Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek, translated into English, and salvation's always been the same. Look at verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This is a freebie. Again, it would help me. This is one of the passages that helps me understand the severity of Moses when he struck the rock the second time. It marred the spiritual picture that God had established. Christ was smitten once, not twice. Then we call out unto him. You see, and Moses didn't complete that picture. And it wasn't harsh. God's so gracious that when he does what we deserve, it looks harsh. But Moses, in his position of responsibility and influence, will receive the greater judgment, and he did, and it was rough. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. He put up with complaining, whining people. I don't think we have a complaining, whining church. So, you know, when I say we are Israel, I don't think we're a complaining, whining church, at least maybe on the last find out about it, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not a great guy with complaining and whining. It's not my forte, and although I might do it a lot. But it is, when I say he put up with them, he wandered in the wilderness with these people and didn't get the cake. But he got to be with God. He really won for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I know he longed to go into that promised land. God took him up Mount Nebo and he got to see it. And God blessed him. He said his strength nor his eyesight were abated in his old age of 120. And so the pictures in the Old Testament and the preaching would have been clear. The gospel would have been as clear as I preach it today without the details of the cross. It would have been that God will come, put on flesh, fulfill the law, both the prophecies and doing everything right and doing nothing wrong, and he would take your punishment and take upon himself your sin, and because of that, he would die in the flesh and would rise again. The details that were left out on the third day, that it would be crucifixion, brutal flesh, just brutal beyond understanding. Though it was there in Isaiah 52 and 53, it was there. But the gospel is preached with the same clarity that says the only hope you have for removal of sins is faith in the Messiah. That's it. Same clarity. So let's just read verse 4 again. And the reason I'm going through this in detail, because this isn't really where my message is from. So, because I'm like, bummer. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Still talking about the people that came out of Egypt. Just keep that context with verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So in the big picture perspective, they wandered in the wilderness because they didn't believe God would deliver them over the enemies of Canaan, of the promised land. And, you know, two spies, Joshua and Caleb, had a good report. 10 spies had an evil report. They believed the evil report, and God said, fine, for every day that you spied out the land, you will wander in the wilderness 1 year. And he said, and remember, they use the argument, and we spiritualize things. We blame why we don't do things. Children, shame us, right? For using our children as a cloak why we don't serve God. They did. They said, we would go in and put a whooping on them, but for our kids. And God said, oh, okay. Everyone 20 and older, none of you will enter in, and we won't enter in until the last one is dead. Everybody under 20, those are who's going to go in. It's your children. I'm the one that protects your children. I'm the one that is the giver of all good things. If you have good health today, it's God. Good doesn't happen without God. We got to remember that. You know, I'm not asking you to be foolish with your kids. Just be careful that we don't use our kids as a cloak for why we don't obey God. I don't know of any examples of that here. I'm not saying that. Not me thinking that. I'm just telling you, I've heard it in the past in my lifetime. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. I love this. Ron's been reminding us this in Sunday school. Remember this. Lust does not have to just be between a man and a woman. It's not that. Lust is just inordinate affection, right? Inordinate desire, right? It's that, you know, the lust of the flesh. It's good to breathe. My flesh desires air. I'm not saying you can, I don't know how you inordinately want air, but you know, like food, you know, it's good to eat. If you're just consumed by food, it doesn't have to be that you're a glutton, but if your life is all about food, I think you've been overcome with the lust of the flesh with food. That your delight, your love is food. My delight, my love needs to be Christ. Any appetite of the flesh, it can be lust, it could be covetousness, right? We've talked that. So here's what he says. Look at verse 6. Now these things were our examples. We're given all this. The Old Testament, these true accounts that God gave us were for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He's going to show their inordinate affection and what it resulted in. Why? So that we won't do the same thing. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. You've got to love this. Wait a minute. I thought they tempted God. Christ is the same thing. Just remember. It's so good. Neither murmur ye. Murmur. That's complaining. As some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take it heed, lest he fall. And so, just Ptolemy is surrounded by God, yet dissatisfied. There's four areas where God's people struggle. I'm going to use the term God's people. Israel were God's people. They had to be born again. The only way they'd go to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ. No Jewish person goes to heaven because they're a Jew. But if you allow, as a nation, they were God's people. So I'm just going to say four areas where God's people struggle. So it's this, ultimately, you can never have victory over sin unless you're saved. So let's just narrow this down, even though the context of Israel, a lot of the people that did these things are probably in hell today. They were lost. But these are just four areas where God's people struggle. We're going to begin with verse 7, and we're going to go verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 4 points, and I'm done with the message. First thing, we prefer to eat, drink, and play. Look at this, verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I have on my screen just a, if you're font challenged, this is a 54. And I normally like to do 72, but Exodus 32, in case you can't see this. In fact, I'm struggling. But I think I can. I can close one eye and it gets better. All right, Exodus 32. And when the people saw, this is going to illustrate this true account where Moses is up in the mount. It's shocking. Most of you. Moses was delayed to come down out of the mount, so he was up there, 40 days. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Now, I will tell you, give them credit. I very rarely do. They went to Aaron, Moses' brother, and they talked to him. Now, they ordered him around. They told him what to do. But by God's grace, we would stand up and go, no way. What? Aaron didn't. You got to imagine, this is a people 2 to 3 million strong. And Aaron, kind of excuses later, said, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Make us gods. Little g. That'll lead us. They'd been so influenced by the world that they needed something visible. Two. Aaron said to them, break off. He didn't. There's no evidence that Aaron pushed back. Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. If you just remember this, they did what he said. The opportunities that we miss. And he, Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. Up. And rose up to play. I'm not going to go into the details. We'll cover Exodus 32 as a unique chapter when I get back to Exodus. But This is 21st century Christianity. I think we would have more people if our theme was Eat, Drink, and Play, Baptist Church. What can we do for you? We have a program for everybody. I told you, you know, when I went to once, I don't know why, that reminded me. I went to China and I was looking for DVDs. Did I tell you that? Okay. Probably, you're like, you shouldn't buy DVDs, you know, because they were super cheap, right? And I said, you know, you could just use, I go, DVDs. He got a trench coat and it was lined with DVDs. That was my experience. That's people shop for churches. You pray for me. It is. I overreact. I've almost said this. Is my wife in here? She got the nursery. Nursery. She's not in here. All right, this is good because she doesn't like what I said. But if people say, what programs do you have? I've only said this a couple of times. Not enough for you to be interested in us. We aren't here to establish programs for you. Our focus wants to be Christ, not programs. And you're like, Steve, you're such a jerk. I don't want to be a jerk, but those people make me nervous. And sometimes they push back and said, no. And so I said this. I said, look, I get it. I want our lives to be right here. And I'm not, I love fellowship, and I think that's good. I don't think it's wrong for us to have fellowship and enjoyment. God knows that because he says if someone's being disciplined by the church, that sweet fellowship and enjoyment together will end in the sense of just getting together for sweet times. That's good. I love it. This is not a message to me trying to, if I have an issue with anything, you'll know it, right? Not because I'm trying to be a jerk. I don't introduce things from the pulpit. I usually don't. I'm not doing it now. So I think it's good. I love when I hear people fellowshipping together, but I'll tell you this, life is more than eat, drink, and playing. But that's the world. All they want to do is eat, drink, and play, and they have to work in order to fund the eat, drink, and play. And so, but we Christians, if we're not careful, all we become is Christianized eat, drink, and play. All we do is eat, drink, and play. We never reach anybody for Christ. In fact, we never talk about Christ to anybody. And we never even think of it, hardly. I look like, you know, some, you know, Neanderthal. There's no such thing, but I, you know, because we know what they look like. People look at me and go like, how dare you? I was on my best behavior, whatever that was, at the funeral, you know? And, I know this. I know it probably still comes out to roar, right? I'm literally trying. I tell myself, back up. Little lighter. Back up. I hardly ever say that. But I'm viewed, you know, as like, wah, you know? It is, and I do need to lighten up and we need to be nicer. And I'm not giving up on that, you know? But I'll tell you this. The night cometh when no man can work. I will wish I had been dedicated to Christ when I'm dead. I'm going to love being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying I'm going to be depressed in eternity. I'm not. But I wish I had honored him better. I don't know how it's all going to work. I'm going to be thrilled to be with Christ. But today, Christianity, we'd prefer to eat, drink, and play. Second thing I want you to look at, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. I've got this, numbers 25. This is the 54 font, sorry. Numbers 25, 1 through 9. You want to turn there? And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Sin, evil, wickedness. Just like the sin of America is fornication. Hello, Israel. You know, we're talking 3,500 years ago. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. You want to marry ungodly people, you will worship what ungodly people worship. Oh, you're not better than that. Just, that's a duh, right?
And Israel
joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Of course, should be. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, and the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judge of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. Now, not a lot of application with this. Look, I'm not even saying that Phinehas was perfectly right. In fact, I struggle with what Phinehas did, okay? Just because God stayed the plague because of what Phinehas did doesn't mean Phinehas was necessarily right. The spirit that Phinehas had was right. But I don't think he had a right to do that, right? But here's the issue. Nothing's changed. Nothing's new under the sun. Physical, you know, it's the S word I don't like to use from the pulpit, right? You know, man-woman relationships, there's very little difference between church attenders and the world. We are eaten up with those types of pleasures and those types of pursuits. And God is not pleased. I do bring up one other thing. You know, it says 23,000 in 1 Corinthians. It says 24,000 here in Numbers. The Bible's just inconsistent. No. Some of you guys, your heart dropped. I love 1 Corinthians. It says 23,000 fell in one day. Another 1,000 fell on a different day. Because they killed the leaders. So it looks like 23,000 of the common people died in one day, and it might have been 1,000 leaders. Remember, you see that distinction in Numbers? Died on a different day. I don't know. The Bible's always right. It's not. You didn't. I was joking when I said that. It doesn't contradict. Just, you know, relax. There's simple explanations, and God will tell us what it was, but the Bible's correct. 23,000 died in one day. You know how many died in one day, Jacob? 23,000. You know how many died in total? 24,000. I'm thinking it wasn't in one day. But, you know, we trust the Bible. So, you know, when we go back to this, we just see this. We must fight this. You know, is it Hosea? Because I always forget the book. Is it Hosea that says we're bent to backsliding? Is that Hosea that says that? Is it Hosea? Somebody, and don't look it up. Yeah, okay, Clay's the only one allowed to look it up. Just bent to backsliding, right? I do want to know because I want to get it burned in my head. But it's this, we must be that honest. We are never going to arrive to where we can coast in holiness. The devil wants to destroy us. Our flesh wants to eat, drink, and play. Our flesh wants to pursue physical pleasures. And then we're just unhappy with God's provisions. We've been talking that a lot in Sunday school. We're just unhappy with what God's provided. Of all people that should be joyful, I talked this with Brother Lee. The happiest people I've found are Christians in churches that have nothing. The Philippines. I'm telling you, I was there, Deb and I were there for 16 days, and it humbled us once we learned this. I almost couldn't eat at their house, but I had to eat at their house. The first time I had a lunch after a Sunday after I preached, they said they took their whole week's paycheck to provide you that meal. I said, why did you let me eat there? I don't want to eat there. I don't want to take somebody's whole week's paycheck. And they delighted in it. And I would have never known it until they told me. I love they told me. It humbled me. I've never seen a happier people. You know, their best place was assembling together with God's people. They had nothing. Nothing. The more you have, the less you'll be happy. It's close. We, of all people in the United States of America, we are the most discontent people, and we have more than anybody else in the world, and we're not thankful to God. That's us. That's me. Not. And so let's look at this passage that he's talking about. Let's look at this verse 9. neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. I covered this story a number of times. It's just real quick. I'll go through it. Numbers 21. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, to go around it. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The Edomites would not let them cut through Edom. And so they just, you know, yeah, they're walking. I mean, 2 to 3 million people, babies, you know, what a pain. You know, I mean, strollers in sand. It doesn't work. We tried it in Hilton Head. And it's anyway. But, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. He provided the best, most nutritious food from heaven, manna. We don't want it. We loathe this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, fiery, poisonous. Because when something poisonous bites you, most of the time it burns. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I love this story. It was, you know, God would get a bad rap, right? God would get a bad rap when he would send fiery serpents. But so much was in what God did. He was gracious to them. He made a way out, but it pictured Christ. Christ was hung on a tree. He became our curse. You must look to him and be saved. Look and live, my brother, live. That's where that comes from, Numbers 21. I told you this was the passage that... was this the passage? No, it wasn't the passage. It was another passage, but Spurgeon got saved on. And but I tell you this, we are unhappy with God's provision. We need to listen to ourselves. Or listen to your kids. If you're thankful, your kids will be thankful. If your kids whine, complain, bicker, it's because they have a teacher or teachers. And we have so much to be thankful for. And understand this. This is where we struggle. I just want to play. I'm tired of working. I just want a little pleasure. Well, there's pleasure in God's ways, not in the world's ways. And then, you know, if God blessed me like you, I guess I'd be happy too. Well, we're blessed. And number four, we murmur and complain in the house of God. Look at verse 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I want to take you here. To the sons of Kohath, Numbers 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, and the son of Peloth, the sons of Reuben, took men. These spiritual leaders, Levites, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of assembly. Good number. Famous in the congregation, men of renown. You know, gonna exert some pressure by numbers and by reputation. And they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." God dealt with Moses when he needed to. God dealt with Aaron when he needed to. But these people thought they had to take it into their own hands, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them." I'm not so sure. "And the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Jump to verse 9. "Seemeth it a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation and minister unto them?" It is, they did. They thought Moses was exalting himself. They thought Moses was was making it all about him, and they murmured and complained, and let's see how it ends. Number 16, it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, and so God gave them a sign how they would know if he was with Moses, and so he wasn't with the sons of Korah. Now, it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Little earthquake, dividing of the land, and the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. This is one of the passages where it might be that hell is in the center of the earth. Don't go into a tizzy if you don't think so. That's okay. They and all that went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Look back at 1 Corinthians 10:10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed to the destroyer. It's this. Sometimes we have to do hard things. But where complaining shouldn't be is in this work. And so, let's say, I think there is an appropriate thought. When, you know, I'm trusting that this gate we just met with the building fund was the hardest gate, in my opinion. I just wasn't sure. Wasn't sure where the Lord was at, and I wasn't sure about your heart and all that. So God is able to stop anything. I think he wants this. I think it's all going to work out. But I need to be willing to change. I've made a conclusion. Doesn't mean it's right. We're going to have an opportunity, if we're not careful, to find reasons to bicker and complain. And this is a forewarning, not a criticism. Complaining's easy for us, is it not? Is it's so easy. And so what we must do is, I wish we could draw a line. My wife and I, we kind of draw a line. We won't argue. We don't argue in the things of God, really, do we? We don't. We definitely won't hear. You know, can't wait till we get home today. But we won't. There's a line drawn that says, ain't happening. Later. But it's this. That's how sacred. Not this building, but this assembly, the people. You follow me? I wish I wasn't pastor and I could preach this. I would preach it just as strongly. Sounds like I might have ulterior motives. I have no ulterior motives. If I'm a scallywag, you should deal with me lovingly and kindly, but get me out of the pulpit, and there's a place for that. That doesn't mean you don't have to do hard things sometimes. You follow me? Moses wasn't a scallywag. But I think this is a good thing. I love this about hope. I do. I don't think we're bickering and complaining and fussing and fighting amongst each other. Let's make this sacred. When you work longer together and it's going to be hard and we're going to make mistakes, and I love Zach's temperament, what I need to do is just shut up and just hee-ho. You know, it is, if I could just tell you this, if there's one place we don't murmur and complain, let it be with God's work. Let it be with God's people. And then take it to your house. I'm not saying it's okay to murmur and complain anywhere. First, let it begin with God. His people, his ways, and I think we do well. So I tell you this, these are the four things that we struggle with. And I forgot to put my last line on there. My final thought, it comes from verse 12. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I pray there were none of us here this afternoon. You said, no problem. Easy cheesy, right? The discipline of this flesh is really hard, right? Sister Carla, you're one of the nicest people I know. Would you agree with this? I know you're not that nice, but I ask you this, and you can say not that tough, right? So this is a tough one, right? I imagine people like you. You got this flesh thing figured out and just whooped it. Is it as hard as I speak? Or do you sit in there and going, what's wrong with this guy? And I think the older we get, the more we realize, good grief, I should be way better than this, right? And if we think we've got this and we think we stand, we're probably one step away from falling. I don't think you should be dreading. I don't think you should worry. We need to put our trust in the Lord. But I think this, be circumspect. Because we are one foolish thought from these issues right here. There's not one person here. You think you would have participated in Exodus 32? No way. People like us participated in Exodus 32. You think? I'm thinking. No way, but I don't know. Take heed, lest I think I stand, lest I fall. Father, bless your people. I love their tired. Give them rest.